Morant with a running start. Elevates. Ooh. Oh, it dunks. Oh, my goodness. Thomas. Tie game in overtime. Gasol will turn. Gets into it on the floor with Randolph. Hard to tell if there are any punches being thrown under there, but Griffin took exception to something. The officials break it up quickly.
Griffin. See, he just locked his arm and then kind of pulled him over. Zach falls down, and then, you know what, a little elbow there.
Oh, he's digging the elbow.
Yeah, you know.
Welcome to Grits and Grinds, a Memphis Grizzlies podcast on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. My name is Keith Parrish. Hope you're doing well. There is some news about the NBA, so I guess I will share that with you if you haven't heard it. I'm not in the mood, basically, to talk about the NBA most of the time. We're living in tough times, pandemic, the civil unrest. So if you need some respite just to think about basketball, that is what I'm going to provide, hopefully, and get some information out. Today's episode is brought to you by betonline.ag, our longtime supporters. All right, so we found out in the last week in the NBA that it looks like the NBA playoffs or something, the NBA games are going to come back on July 31st. We are going to find out this coming Thursday, we think. This coming Thursday, Adam Silver is going to make his recommendation to the NBA Board of Governors, and they are expected to approve whatever he suggests. So by Thursday, we should know what are the details of how the season will resume. We already have the German Professional Soccer League, the Bundesliga, has started. The Premier League has announced its start date. So some sports are coming back. The NBA, I think it's anticipated that games will start on July 31st. The huge mystery is what exactly happens. What we know is it looks very likely the teams at the bottom of the standings are not going to play any more basketball. That makes sense. It remains to be seen how many teams are going to be involved, whether it's just the 16 playoff teams, the teams currently in playoff position, or if it'll be 20 teams or maybe 22 teams. There was a GM survey where they presented a bunch of options to the GMs to get their feedback on what they would either prefer or be okay with. It's a little confusing because we don't know what the wording was, and the numbers don't totally add up. But we know in this GM survey, 16 of the GMs, 16 of the 30 GMs voted to go straight to the playoffs. You could guess that as just the 16 playoff teams. It seems like also teams that were already eliminated would vote to go to the straight to the playoffs because they don't care, but who knows? So it says 16 of the 30 GMs said, let's go straight to the playoffs. 16 of the 30 teams said, let's do traditional seeding. That's probably all the Eastern Conference teams. I wouldn't think Western Conference teams would vote for that, but maybe they did. Maybe they've been preparing for who they think their opponent might be, and they would rather go ahead and play those teams. I don't know. 8 of the 30 teams voted for a play-in tournament. So what's very confusing when you read these GM survey results is it says 8 of 30 voted for a play-in tournament. You would guess that's the 8 teams closest to the playoffs. But also, 25 of the 30 GMs apparently voted for a 20 or more team playoffs plus scenario. And this is the one, according to Ramona Shelburne and Adrian Wojnarowski, seems to be gaining steam, where you would bring in teams that still had a mathematical chance of making the playoffs. There'd be some regular season games, and then there would be play-in games. But anyway, 25 of the 30 said, okay, this is fine. But 18 of the 30 said, let's play a 72-game regular season, which would be adding, you know, something like 6 to 9 games to everyone else left in their season. And then 7 of the 30 guys said, let's not come back. That is your Warriors. I don't know who else. I think the Hawks said they wanted to play some more games. I saw some Pistons writers wanted the Pistons to come back and tank. Come on. But anyway, so that was the GM results. And again, like I said, it seems based on reporting, Adam Silver wants to get some more regular season games done because of the regional television contracts. If you haven't been keeping up, almost every NBA team, if they get 70 regular season games played, get their full television contract. That's my basic understanding. I could be off on some of those details. I know the Lakers aren't in that situation, and they're one of the teams with the fewest games played. But the big motivation for this is money, is for the television money, for the playoffs, and for the regular season, and to keep these NBA teams operating as they have been, to make sure there's no huge salary cap ramifications, to keep everything going so hopefully next season, whenever next season starts, that it can be sort of a normal NBA season and there isn't $1 billion loss or $2 billion loss. So the players are motivated because they want their full salaries. The teams are motivated because of the impact that it makes on their communities and their employees and everything else. Like, it's a big deal for the sports not happening and for the NBA not happening. It affects a lot of people. It affects lowly podcasters. It affects the people who work in the arenas. Like, the people who work in the arenas, they're not going to be able to work in the arenas. But I guess the hope would be if the money coming to these NBA teams is more stable and more secure, that then in turn they would take care of the employees who are out of work, hopefully receiving unemployment, but they would continue paying those people. I know there's a lot of talk about NBA teams and owners continuing to pay the game night employees, and some of those people have done it and some of them have not. And there's always the, will the people in charge do the right thing? I don't know. But that's the idea of, if everyone gets this money, hopefully it would be a positive thing for all the economies based on NBA basketball games. So as a Grizzlies fan, I think there might be a misconception. I think most of you guys want more basketball games before the playoffs. I guess there are some Grizzlies fans who are like, we're the eighth seed, let's just start the playoffs and let's get our certain number of playoff games over. I'm not in that boat. The idea of more regular season games, and again, caveat to this, this episode is a respite from all the stuff that's going on in the world, pandemic and civil unrest. Obviously, the caveat is if the games can be done safely within a tolerable risk with the pandemic, we can get these games going. So we know that. We're just talking about basketball. The idea of more regular season Grizzlies games is exciting and awesome for me. This is debatably the most entertaining Memphis Grizzlies team of all time. This is one of my favorite rosters I've ever watched in the NBA. Ja Morant is awesome. Jaren Jackson Jr. is healthy. D'Anthony Melton's a free agent after the season. I don't know what's going to happen with him. I guess most of us assume they would re-sign him and keep him, but we don't know that for sure. Brandon Clark is great. Justice Winslow's been added. I am dying to watch this team play basketball. So more games is good. The idea of a play-in tournament is where it gets weird for Grizzlies fans. There's no home court advantage. If they're all the games are played on a neutral site, that's where we're like, hey, this doesn't seem fair to add this in, to make up this new rule, this new idea for the playoffs. That part doesn't feel totally right. There's also some, I don't know if you want to call it an inferiority complex or small market energy, where we're mad that it seems like ESPN and the league wants Zion Williamson in the playoffs instead of the Grizzlies. I understand for television ratings purposes, they're thinking, hey, for the good of the league, it would be good to not have Zion Williamson eliminated. But that good of the league argument gets weird when you look to some famous playoff results and how fan bases felt aggrieved by the referees. Was it good for the league for the Shaq and Kobe Lakers to defeat the Kings because there'd be higher ratings with the Lakers in the finals? Would it be good for the league when Charles Barkley shot whatever it was, 35 free throws against the Seattle Supersonics in a game 7? You know, when you start thinking about those things, like do the teams, does the NBA rather have a big market team make the finals every year? That's where it gets kind of squirrely with the logic. So I think as a Grizzlies fan, that's where it feels weird, where if Zion Williamson and the Pelicans were 3.5 games up, would there be this much talk of a play-in tournament? I see a lot of NBA writers arguing the play-in tournament is good. We need it because the first round of the playoffs is bad. And I really can't get behind the argument that a pandemic is the excuse to fix something that people thought needed fixing anyway. The idea of like, oh, we think the first round of the playoffs is boring, so since the season has been stopped, this is a good chance to try it out. That logic doesn't make sense to me. I mean, I guess I can kind of understand where people are coming from, but if you're going to be bored by the NBA playoffs after going 4 or 5 months without basketball, I can't help you. I don't know what we're doing there. I am open to play-in tournament or something, or a round robin tournament where it gives an advantage to the teams already in playoff positioning. So let's talk about what might be this 22 plus team tournament. Actually, let's do that after a break from our sponsor. So you might not know, but there is no shortage of action going on right now at our exclusive partner, betonline.ag. NASCAR is back. Like I said, the Bundesliga is playing, and BetOnline has hundreds of other games, events, and sports to get in on. You can even bet on simulated NFL and NBA events if you want. You can participate in a $10,000 Madden Bracket Challenge, a March Madness-style NFL simulation tournament that has a free entry. And live right now on BetOnline's YouTube channel, you'll find an exclusive interview with ex-Chicago Bulls Ron Harper, Horace Grant, Bill Cartwright, and Craig Hodges, who was left out of The Last Dance, to discuss the Jordan documentary and what they're calling the final dance. So visit betonline.ag, use promo code BLUEWIRE, and receive a new welcome bonus and check out all the action. BetOnline, your online wagering solution. All right, so this latest 22-team Playoffs Plus plan, where the worst 8 teams would not be involved at all, it takes 13 teams from the West and 9 teams from the East. This is bizarre. I almost feel like it was floated just to get feedback on it. It's such a mystery to me that I don't know how it would possibly work or make sense. If you're going to keep the playoffs seeded by conference and you're bringing back just the Wizards, who are, 5.5 games or something behind the Magic, to bring them just back and then all these teams, these 22 teams, are going to play 8 more regular season games to then have a play-in game for, like, what if the Magic are 9 games up on the Wizards? Why would we have a play-in tournament? And if it's just 2 teams, maybe the Nets would be involved. Maybe it'd be 3-for-2 in the East because the Nets are under 500. They're not that awesome. But in the West also, if you play 8 more regular season games, what happens if the Grizzlies go 7-1 and open up like a 7-game lead on these other teams? If anyone, what if the Trailblazers go 8-0 and they open up their own 4-game lead? These are unlikely circumstances, but the problem with introducing these new things is the unintended consequences. And if they play 8 more regular season games and the Grizzlies increase their lead, it's going to be very, very strange then to have them have to force them to play a play-in tournament. So like that's an issue there. Also, if you're going to play 8 more regular season games and still have a play-in tournament, you're going to run into some extreme quality of play issues. Like will it be seeding for all the other playoff teams involved? Will they bring their players along slowly? Will they treat it like preseason? Will Kawhi Leonard want to load manage the whole thing? Are of the 13 teams, maybe they will eliminate 2 or 3 of them if their records are bad enough. Like maybe they're only going to take, maybe it will be a 8, 9, 10, those 3 squads, or maybe it'll just be, it will be a race to the 9 spot for that play-in. Again, there's so much mystery. We don't understand what it's going to be, but to take 13 West teams and 9 East teams, it feels rushed and weird. I'm in support of something different. I mean, I am in support, again, of playing more games, playing more regular season games. As long as the league isn't throwing out the results of the first 65 or 73 games, if the Grizzlies play eight more, as long as they're recognizing that the Grizzlies have a lead, I can wrap my mind around it. If there is just, they will take one team from the Pelicans, Trailblazers, Spurs, Kings, and Suns. If they're just going to take one of those teams, and then that team will play the Grizzlies, and it's a situation where it's like a college baseball World Series where that team has to then beat the Grizzlies twice. The Grizzlies only have to beat them once. I understand that. That seems fair. We're dealing with an imperfect result. The season stopping where it is without these teams behind the Grizzlies having a chance to catch up, it is not fair. There's no way to say it's fair. I was saying on this show that the Grizzlies somewhat got saved by the buzzer. They were going on another tough West Coast trip. Their previous West Coast trip had been a disaster. Jaren Jackson Jr. had not returned yet. So to some degree, they got saved by the buzzer. On the other hand, all of the talk about how the Pelicans would have caught them, that's not based in any fact. Too many fans were assuming the Pelicans were going to finish the season like 13-4 or something, 14-3. It's possible, but they had not demonstrated at any time previous in the year they were going to do that. We all know they had an incredibly easy schedule. The Trailblazers fans were saying, hey, we're going to beat the Grizzlies twice because we play the Grizzlies twice, both games in Portland, and that's possible. That could have happened. The Trailblazers were getting healthy. Like, they're getting Zach Collins and Nurkic. They should have Zach Collins and Yusuf Nurkic back when the season resumes in another 2 months. That's the funny thing, too. It's so far away. I mean, it can still not happen, but the idea of we might know what's going to happen or what's planned to happen on Thursday, but it still is not going to start until 2 months from today, where I'm talking on May 31st. It'll be July 31st is the talk. So, like, I understand the Trailblazers lost their chance to make a run. The Trailblazers' best 20-game stretch of the season, they went 11-9. I've always maintained for the Trailblazers to catch the Grizzlies, the Grizzlies, you know, if they go 7-11, the Trailblazers have to go, what is that? They had to go, I think, 12-7, or which would have been their best 20-game stretch of the season. It's possible. And again, I don't think the Grizzlies were going to go 7-11. I think the Grizzlies were probably going to win 8, 9, or 10 games. And if that's the case, these teams all need to go basically 13-4 or 14-4, depending on how many games they had left. The Kings are a team no one talks about, nationally at least. The Kings might have been the team worst affected by this shutdown. The Kings have been playing well. Since January 1st, De'Aaron Fox was averaging 22 points and 7 assists a game. The Kings had taken care of all the bad teams on their schedule. It had been 21 games since they'd lost to a team under 500. They were 10-5. I think they're 10-5 in the last 15 games. They were 13-7 in the last 20 games. And again, all their losses, they lost to the Raptors, to the Bucks, to the Mavericks, to the Thunder. They were only losing to really good teams, and they were beating everybody else. If the season had gone one more game before the shutdown, all these conversations possibly could have been so different. If you remember the very last game that was canceled, the late game on ESPN that Wednesday night, was Kings Pelicans in Sacramento. If Kings win that game, they are 3 games behind the Grizzlies. They're a solid game up on the Pelicans. Just an absolutely massive game in the playoff race. If that had been played, I think all these conversations, they could be so different. It could be the Pelicans maybe be even more amplified how much they should probably be in. But if the Kings had won, and I believe they were favorites, playing at home where they've been on a really hot streak, 10-4 in De'Aaron Fox's last 14 games. Like, maybe this conversation is very different. The following night was supposed to be Grizzlies at Trailblazers. So if this season had just gone one more game before shutting down, all these conversations would be different. What I think should happen and what I think makes the most sense, I guess I'll wrap up this episode with a short pitch. I did this over on Nerder, She Wrote. Based on all these things I've heard, they want to get to 70 games for most teams. I think you should take all those teams that are close in the West. I'm cutting it off. It's the Sun with the Suns, but you can include the Suns. That's fine. The Suns can be included too. This 22 team plus playoff scenario would include the Suns. So if the Suns are included, you take the Suns and the Kings and the Spurs and the Pelicans and the Trailblazers and Memphis, and then you take Brooklyn and Orlando. So that's eight teams kind of on the fringe. It's the three playoff teams, Grizzlies, Magic, Nets that are under 500, and then the five teams chasing them. You have those eight teams, and they all play each other one time. So that's seven games. They finish their regular season just playing each other. It's a balanced schedule. Everyone plays each other one time. That's the most fair thing in my mind. I think based on those standings, and I'm going to give the Grizzlies, they start off with a 1-0 record. The Nets start off with a 1-0 record. The Magic start off with a 1-0 record. Everyone else starts off with an 0-1 record. So we're spotting a one-game lead for the teams currently in playoff position. All those eight teams play each other one time. That's seven more games for each team. And then the top three in those standings, those are your playoff teams. And the tiebreaker is the standings as of the end of this, as of the shutdown. You use team winning percentage as of March 12th. What that would mean is for the Trailblazers or Pelicans, Kings, Spurs, or Suns to make the playoffs, they'd have to finish two games better than the Magic, the Nets, or the Grizzlies over the span of seven games. That respects the fact that the Nets, the Magic, and the Grizzlies had a lead. It gives the teams currently outside the playoffs a chance to play all the teams, and if they finish two games better over a seven-game stretch, which is probably something that was going to happen if they wanted to make the playoffs in reality, and then those teams get in the playoffs. This is fair. As a Grizzlies fan, I think it's incredibly fair. If they started with no advantage, if they started with everybody has a 0-0 record, and you just did the tiebreaker based on the records, team's records as of March 12th, that still seems okay. The tiebreaker would still go to the Grizzlies, Magic, or Nets if they finish with the same record. So in that scenario, it's seven games, and you just have basically a one-game lead. So it's a smaller margin. I think that's less fair. Obviously, the teams on the outside looking in would vote for that. The only problem with this scenario is then you would probably need to do all the playoffs with seeding regardless of conference. Because maybe only one of the East teams gets in. Maybe you could wait and see if the Magic and Nets both defend their spot. Then you could do the conferences as regular. But the way this is set up, I think you would then have to do the playoffs without conference. The rest of my plan, so if these teams are playing their seven games together, I think you could take the bottom eight teams. So we're including 22 teams in the top. We're including eight teams in this specific play-in round robin. The bottom nine teams would then each play each other one time. So that's eight more games for them. They get to finish their season. They fulfill their contracts with their regional sports providers. And then that standings in that pool, that could set the lottery standings. Oh, and I do think that the teams that don't make the playoffs out of those, what is this, the 14 through 22 teams, say the Spurs, you know, they don't make the playoffs, they would enter the lottery based on their records as of right now. So again, the lottery standings for teams 9 through 14 in the lottery, those are already set, or those will be set based on who doesn't make the playoffs in my little play-in. If the Grizzlies don't make the playoffs in my play-in, they would then be probably 14th. They'd have to be 14th in the lottery because they have the best record of anyone as of now. If the Grizzlies don't make the playoffs, they would go into the lottery, and then you still have that, hey, 4% chance or whatever it is, 2% chance of jumping up into the top four. That's not nothing. So that would be a different thing. That would be my plan there. The bottom teams, they're playing each other to set the lottery, and that'd be reversed. It actually would reward who had the best record playing each other in the bottom eight. So that would be 1 through 8 in the lottery. And then, since all these other teams are playing seven games to finish their seasons, my plan is for the top 13 teams to play a double elimination tournament to finish their regular season. It's just a regular season finishing. I think this would be great for ratings, but it would be all the top 13 teams would play their games against each other. Because it is a tournament, not every team would play the same number of games, and you would have some teams that wouldn't get to 70 games, but in my scenario, most every team would get up to 70 games for the regular season. I think this tournament part would be fun, even though it's not the playoffs. Teams could take it as seriously as they wanted to. In the top 13 here, your one-loss record would be applied to your current record, so you could change your seeding. The teams that are very close in the standings, the Sixers, the Pacers who are tied, the Rockets and Jazz and Thunder are all very close together. Those teams would be playing, because again, these would count as regular season games in the standings for them. And so you could change your seeding, but the top seeds wouldn't have a chance to fall down because they have big leads. So I think that solves a lot of issues. That's my radical idea. That's what I would I would be interested in this. All the caveats are, if you're going to take these risks of get these players together, you could have the lottery teams go to a different site. They don't need to be at the same site as everybody else because there would be no intermingling of these little tournaments or play-ins. But that would be my plan. What they end up doing, I don't know. What has been floated, there's some big issues with. The big issue with mine is in the play-in where the Grizzlies and Kings and Trailblazers and whoever else are playing, what happens if a team loses their first four games and they're basically eliminated? Do they really shut it down? I know there's only seven games, so hopefully no one would be eliminated totally until at least half of the games were played, but you're still going to have the issue of what do the teams just give up? Although, that's what happens in the actual regular season. Teams give up. And there's been lots of teams that made the playoffs because on the final night, they were playing all backups. And that would still happen in this scenario. That's another reason when people are pointing out how the Grizzlies had by far the hardest schedule remaining, I push back at that with, do you watch the NBA and what happens in April? People quit playing their players. When the Bucks have their seed all settled, they're not going to be playing Giannis Antetokounmpo. Like, the Grizzlies playing playoff teams in April is not the same as playing them in January. We don't know what was going to happen. So that is the drawback, but that's also the drawback if you play this eight games scenario of just against everyone, the schedule's not going to be balanced. So that makes it less fair for the teams trying to get in. And if the Grizzlies are in the situation where, oh, we're going to try to get eight games done in maybe something like 12 days, because we're still on a time crunch. The playoffs themselves will take 7, 8, or 9 weeks, we think. And they're trying to get this done at latest by the end of September. And if they're starting on July 31st, that's only 2 months. That's August and September. So if you're going to cram in eight regular season games and have a play-in, what's to keep the Grizzlies or whoever else from being like, oh, we're load managing. Who cares if we lose? This is no big deal. We're not going to play our guys. We're not going to play Brandon Clark with his bulky hip. He's not going to play eight games in 11 days. So the big issue is when we find out what the schedule is actually going to be, that they're trying to guard the games feeling weird. They're already going to be weird. They're already going to be in an empty arena. If they force these teams to play meaningless games, and those are the first things they show to the public coming out of the break, I feel like that is a bigger issue than only bringing 16 teams back. But I don't know. There's no perfect answer. I like to think my suggestion, it's pretty good, but there's no perfect answer. None of it is fair to everyone. I think as a Grizzlies fan, the thing we would get most upset about is if there's a thing where it feels more balanced, like a straight, the Spurs, Trailblazers, Pelicans, Kings have like the same chance to make the playoffs as the Grizzlies. I don't think that would happen. I think that is obviously unfair to everyone who looks at it objectively, but who knows if they determine it's for the best, the betterment of the league or something, I guess they'll do that. But anyway, hope you guys are doing well. I hope you're staying safe. I hope everyone is employed as much as they need to be. If you need help, reach out. I'm fine with that. Reach out. But just take care. Thanks for listening to this podcast. Hopefully it was a little break. You guys have a good one. Go Grizz.
Hey, this is Megan Rapinoe, and I'm Sue Bird. We've decided to turn our crazy IG live show into a podcast for your listening pleasure. Enjoy the show. A Touch More.
New episodes of A Touch More drop Tuesday only on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. Be sure to subscribe to the show on Spotify, Apple, or anywhere else you listen to podcasts.